Well, I just want to say a few things very briefly. Thank you so much for inviting this church, for allowing us, my wife and I, and Islay, and Mr. Wilson, to take this young people, this group of young people up to the wilds. What a blessing that is. A couple years ago when we was up there, we're so blessed to have the ability to take young people to places like the wilds, like the youth conference, and I'm so thankful that everybody supports that. Briefly, two things, or really three things. Number one, a funny story. One of the ladies that came with us, a little girl, her name's Flory, and she asked me when we were at stop, she goes, Mr. Nicholas, you know, I've got to get back into the trailer because I got to brush my hair. Now, you know, normally I would tell a kid, you know, go pound sand, you know. But I said, okay, so I open up the trailer, and lo and behold, we foraged around, we found her luggage, and underneath her luggage, a nest of carpenter ants was forming. We thought, oh no, you know. So fortunately, we were able to stop and stop the carpenter ants. We were able to get all that cleaned up, and nobody got to camp with a bunch of carpenter ants in their luggage. That would have been a really bad thing. So that was a blessing. And then while there, one of the best sermons that touched my heart was one of the first speakers. His name is Herbster. And Mr. Herbster preached, and he said, you know, profession is not conversion. And he really pointed out the fact that if you're saved, if you make a profession, there has to be a conversion. And he was touching the kids' lives and our lives to really examine ourselves and to know that if there's no change in your life, if you make a profession of faith and there's no change, you really have to ask yourself the question about, you know, are you really saved? And he went on to talk that night about deception. And another point he made that I thought was very appropriate for young people and for all of us is that what you sow, you'll reap. But what's interesting about that is you don't always reap in the same season in which you sow. And he was pointing out that young people oftentimes will live a lifestyle of sin, and they'll think, you know, it's okay because I'm not being affected. No one's immediately being affected today. But the reality is oftentimes you reap the benefit of your sin in another season of your life. And I thought that was very, very convicting. It was to me, and I hope it was to our young people. So again, I'm thankful that my wife and I had the privilege of taking them there, and I got to say, Maria, what a blessing. Over the years, she and I have done things in church, but rarely have we done things together. If you notice with all the music, you know, I play the radio. You don't want to hear me sing, you don't want to see me pick up an instrument, but it was a blessing that she and I were able to do this together, and I thank the church for its support, and I think Tim might want to say a couple words, but again, thank you all.
First off, if you're wondering about that video I showed, what happened was when we were driving up there for the Wilds trip, the transmission decided to blow up. So we're up there on this mountain roads, and we've got something like 26 people in that was an 8-passenger van. We had like 10 people in the trunk. So that's how we got to the Wilds after like a 3-mile hike. So that, needless to say, that was fun. But the Wilds has always been a really special place in my life because, you know, about 4 years ago, I was 12. You know, I'd always considered myself to be saved just because of the fact that I grew up in the church. I played the violin all the time, but that's where I got saved. 2 years ago, I went there. You know, I really got right with God. But more recently, something I've been dealing with a lot in my life has been pride. And I've had a lot of stuff going on with school and people saying, oh, you should be a violinist, so I should be a doctor. All these things, and it's, you know, I don't show it directly, but it all kind of gets to my head. And so you kind of get the idea that you can do everything without God. And so while I was at the Wilds, you know, the verse that was the Wilds theme was Romans 12:1, and it really talks about life as a living sacrifice. And as you heard in the video, that song, As a Living Sacrifice, and they really talk about, you know, like my dad said, it's not just, you know, a profession of faith. You have to have a conversion. There has to be evidence of your faith. Not that it shows your salvation, but because that's the purpose of our life. And so I also got the privilege of going to the youth conference. And while I was there, there was one message on Friday morning by Scott Pauley, and he preached on witnessing. And I really examined my heart and remembered, you know, the purpose of all of our existence here on this earth is not, you know, to be successful, to make money. It's really to bring people to Christ. I mean, our life is but a vapor. And he really said, you know, mind the gap. There are people just pouring, you know, into hell, and we're just content to go about our lives and go to college and do whatever we want and just, you know, okay, I'll go in the world, but I won't say anything. I'll be a Christian, but they just let it go by. And so that's something that God really convicted my life about at this trip. And also I'd like to thank my parents for allowing me to go, paying for it, for both of them. My sister, everything, you know, they have no idea how much they mean to me. And this church, you guys' prayers, it really means a lot to all of us. And prayer really is powerful. So thank you all.
That was a blessing. He, you know, everybody says amen when Timmy plays violin, but when he gives that kind of testimony like that, talks about witnessing, that's when I want to say amen better. And we thank the Lord for the balance. Josh, too. God bless you.
Yeah. I like my brother and the rest of my family. I mean, I went to the wilds. I mean, it was a blast. Had a lot of fun. I met up with an old friend of mine, Bradley. He was the one who in the pictures. I don't know if you recognized him, but he was out the one playing volleyball. I went to school with him. He was a really good friend. And so it was good and nice to meet him, to see what he's going on. And it was really convicting to see and encouraging to see, because throughout the last couple of years, I've seen, like, lots of my friends and stuff. You know, they kind of go, like, you know, you see people that come and go in and throughout your life. And over a couple of periods, especially through high school years and then just finishing, you know, just to see people and the paths they take. I mean, I know a couple people that have, you know, been in jail and other stuff, and it was encouraging to see him, Bradley. It was really more of a testimony, his testimony, that convicted me the most, that he was still holding strong and true in the faith, and he was, you know, just being a strong Christian and doing what was right, and that was really an encouraging moment to me. And then message that really spoke to me was on the first, it was either the first or second night we were there, and the preacher was talking about how you should never be satisfied with where you are in your Christian walk. And that really touched me, because I always thought, you know, being on other youth conferences and stuff, I always thought to myself, all right, they tell you, you know, get your music straight, or, you know, just to, you know, set a goal and accomplish that goal. But with that message, it really spoke to me by saying, okay, well, now you can set a small goal for yourself, but you can't be satisfied. You got to continue. So, you know, you say, read your Bible 5 minutes a day. Well, then you do that, and then you say, okay, well, why not read it 10 minutes a day, and then 20, and then why not 30? I mean, and it just keeps helping you out, and it works better. And, you know, it really makes you, you know, check yourself and keep yourself in line, because, I mean, you got to be self-motivated to do it. Otherwise, it won't happen. So it was really touched my heart in a way that has been very encouraging. And this church is definitely a foundation growing up in this church and playing. And I was just, I'm just thankful to be, you know, in this situation and be in a Christian home. And at the end of the day, it comes down to my parents. So thank you, Mom and Dad.
Amen. Josh and Timmy, both in my Sunday school class. And I can tell you, when I'm teaching and I think I throw out some theological word or some philosopher from way back when, they know what I'm talking about. These guys are well-rounded, and it's a blessing to hear them talk about the Lord and their lives being open. Danny and Drew, they both had very interesting summers. They ministered all summer long in Jewish outreach. And I've talked with them about what they've been doing, and it's exciting and interesting, to say the least. And so they're going to come up and tell you about their summers. Come on, guys, and one of you sit up here, the other one can go ahead and start, and you'll be blessed by that as well. Go ahead, Drew.
Well, I'm sure most of you know who I am, but I haven't been here in a while, so my name is Drew Freyer, and I've been at this church for, I think, 12, 13 years now, ever since the old building. But I just finished up my freshman year at West Coast Baptist College this past spring, and I mean, I learned a lot there. I really learned to grow closer to God, and really just was challenged to go to the next step, then the next level in my Christian life. And I thought, you know, there's hardly anything else that I can learn after my freshman year. I know everything now. But I had the opportunity to go to Brooklyn, New York, actually this summer, and there got to take place in a ministry where we actually door knocked in all the Jewish communities for about 6 to 7 hours a day, and just trying to just give them. We had these special packets. We handed out a DVD and a little booklet that had the testimony of a very successful Jewish businessman who had received Christ as his Savior and just had a really strong burden to reach his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters. And so we were handing out these packets. But our main goal was to try to talk to these Jewish people and just present the gospel to them and just try to reach them with the gospel of Christ. And I mean, it was wonderful. It really was. There were some hard times, I mean, being up in New York and that, it was really the first time that I was on my own, away from my family. Even out at Westkills, I'm still with my sister Diana, so, you know, I still have that family there that I can relate to and always kind of lean on. But this summer, I was with 21 other guys, and we did this every single day for 12 weeks. And basically, we would just go into these communities, and honestly, the Jewish people, they really did not want to hear what we had to say. Most of the time, they're very close to it. And especially when we went into the very zealous Jewish communities, a lot of times they'd either slam the door in our face, they'd throw the packet back at us, they'd spit at us, they would curse us, all that kind of stuff. But then you'd come across a Jewish person in these communities who's actually willing to talk to you and willing to listen. And to be able to present the gospel to a Jewish person, someone who the Bible was written to, I mean, to be honest, there's nothing in the world like it. I mean, just the joy of being able to do it and knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do with your life. The greatest feeling in my life I've ever experienced. So, I mean, just it was a wonderful time. And really one verse that the Lord really spoke to me over the summer about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And to be honest, especially in the summertime with the heat waves and when it got really hot and then just the constant rejection door after door, just Jewish people yelling at you, telling you to get out of the community and that, it gets very rough. And you just want to give up and just quit and just go home where there's air conditioning. And then the Lord kept bringing this verse to mind. He said, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And it's one of the biggest lessons I learned, and I know that throughout the rest of my life, I'll never forget that lesson.
My name's Daniel Rigsby, and this summer I was in Berlin, New Jersey, and the group I was with, there was 19 of us, and we stayed at Solid Rock Baptist Church. We had 14 guys staying in a room upstairs in the church. They called it the upper room. So that was kind of funny. But, I mean, it could be a little wearing sometimes living with 14 other guys, and then we had 5 guys living in another small room in the church. But it was a great summer. I learned a lot, not just about the Jewish people, but the church I was at was a very awesome church, and they treated us so well. I think I gained like 15 pounds this summer just because they stuffed our faces. But, you know, it's very good to be home, good to be back at Beacon, be back, you know, where for the most part I was raised a good portion of my life. But just to give you an idea of kind of what we went through this summer is Monday through Friday, we would wake up in the morning, start work around 7:30, and we would have like a group meeting in the morning where we'd all get together, and the guy who was in charge of our site would get up and tell us where we were going out that day, what community we were going to knock, and then we would make our packets, which Drew explained earlier. We had like a letter in it, you know, kind of as an introduction letter, and a booklet and a DVD, and we would stuff these packets. And we would make roughly about 100 packets per person, so we'd make almost about 2,000 packets a day. And we would get in our cars, go out to the neighborhood and knock doors, normally from about 8:30 to 5, and with about an hour lunch break somewhere in the middle there. But it could be very taxing, as it was pretty hot in New Jersey this summer. We had some days where it was like 105 degrees with like 90% humidity, and had to make sure we drank a lot of water and stuff. But Saturday was our ministry to the church day, Saturday and Sunday. We would do soul winning or, you know, any slave labor the church needed done. The church I was at, they had a huge tent meeting, so we were the guys that put up the tent in the mud, and that was a lot of fun. But it was just a really good summer. The Lord really stretched me this summer, showed me some areas I needed to grow in my personal life. Just every day going out and trying to be a witness for Jesus, you have to know your stuff. You have to know the Bible because, I mean, you're going out to people who, you know, some of them knew their Bible pretty well, others didn't, but you need to know what you believe, where you stand, and why you believe it. I mean, since I was raised in church my whole life, so I always, you know, no doubt, I was like, oh, KJV, you know, that's for me and all that kind of stuff. but really talking to the Jewish people who don't believe in a New Testament. They believe only the Old Testament is real. You really have to go, well, I believe this and this is why. You have to be able to show them, you know, and guide them through it and be able to, you know, at Bible college and stuff, we're taught a lot of the New Testament and a lot of the stuff that pertains to the church and the people of the church. But, you know, you have to be able to lead a Jewish person to Christ through the Old Testament. And that was something, you know, that I wasn't really used to, and that's an area I needed to grow in. And just the Lord really moved this summer. We had, I think, 7 Gentiles get saved. And we didn't have any Jewish people get saved, but we had a lot of really good contacts and prospects, people that we visited multiple times. And if you can, keep in mind a man named Moshe. He got visited, I think, 3 times, and his wife left him with all his kids. He's going through a hard time. And he was actually willing to accept a New Testament and read it and study it for himself. And he's someone who I believe is really going to get saved. So just keep in prayer, keep the seed, you know, that was planted this summer in prayer. Thank you.
Maybe some of you are wondering about these guys, and Diana was in Miami with a bunch of girls, Jewish outreach as well. They also do it up out there West Coast. What happened was a gentleman accepted Christ as Savior who was Jewish. His life was changed, became a very devout believer, a strong member there at West Coast, and very wealthy. And so what he wanted to do was take his money and support young people going out into every Jewish community he could. And that's how these fellows are doing this. They're being supported. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing for this Jewish man to do. He has a burden for his own people. And, of course, a great experience for these folks. As you know, the Guatemala trip wasn't too long ago. And we heard wonderful testimonies from our young people that went to Guatemala and others as well. We're grateful for those opportunities. There's another mission trip coming up, an opportunity if everybody wants to be a part of it. That's in September, going up to the Frank Kuzo's church and helping him with some construction. And if you want to be a part of that, there's a mission trip coming up, Haiti, I think in December. Some other folks, Diana's going to Paraguay in December, Lord willing, and some others. And so we thank the Lord for our young people and are grateful that these young people have a burden and want to do things like this. And so Andy's going to come. The youth conference was a great blessing and a success as always, and so he's going to introduce some young people as well.
Youth Conference was a tremendous blessing. It was something that I think will change my life forever. It was a fantastic time. And we're going to have our young people give an opportunity to give a testimony. Matt, we'll start with you. Good-looking guy. Come up. And if you guys want to give a testimony, just stand up here one at a time and start with Matt.
First, I'd like to thank God for keeping us all safe on the conference and blessing us on the conference. And I'd also like to thank all of you for praying for us on the conference. And I was a blessing. Some of you may not know, but I hit my head on the conference, had to go to the hospital, slipped out the shower. But I thank all of you for praying for me through that. That's a blessing. That was a blessing to me. And I'd like to thank my mom for allowing me to go on the conference, and I'd like to thank Andy and Sarah and Pastor for kind of getting the conference together, and I'd like to thank Mr. Russo for driving us up there, but the conference to me has really been a blessing the past couple of years. It's a lot of fun as always, but the main reason we go up there is for the conference, and it's been a blessing to me the past couple of years, especially last year. Pastor Scott Pauley preached a message. There was lots of great messages up there that they preached, but one that really spoke to me was in Daniel 6, it was "Keep Your Windows Open." And a lot of you know the story there of Daniel, and how he was threatened to go into the den of lions and if he would pray in 30 days. But despite that fact, he prayed anyway, and he was thrown in the den of lions, but God delivered him. And he preached that message, and that was the night that I surrendered my life back to Christ. And That really helped me, and God used that message to change my life. And I just want to thank you all for praying for me. I pray that you'll, I hope that you'll all keep praying for us, that we'll keep the decisions that we made up there and keep going for the Lord, keep strong for the Lord. And that's all I'd like to say, but thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I'm not a big fan of preaching contests. When I was younger, I entered a bunch of them, but I'm not a big fan of them. I think it kind of feeds the ego or whatever. I don't get the purpose. But they had them there. Matt went ahead and entered and won first place. So if I'm not for them, but if you're going to get in, you might as well win first place. Amen? It's a good job, Matt. He did fall. He did hit his head. He fell in the shower, hit his head on the toilet, and cracked the toilet. No kidding. That is one hard-headed kid right there, man, let me tell you. Marco's going to come out. Marco also went to the Wilds. He didn't go to youth conference, and Marco's one of our fine young men. I don't know if his dad, you going to say something to Isla a little bit later? No? No? You might. All right, Marco, God bless you.
Well, yeah, it was a big blessing to go to the Wilds. Past few years I've been in school, and due to my own, laziness, I felt I'd not been with my family very much, and this was a great opportunity to just be with Veronica and my dad and just spend a lot of time together. The message that really hit me was, I guess the message that also hit Mr. Nicholas and Timmy was the one about checking your salvation, and that it's more than just a profession of faith. It reminded me of a message by another preacher named Paul Washer, where just he says that the modern gospel is presented in such a way that you kind of say, you know, you present it, would you like to go to heaven? And of course the person says, yes, heaven's a great place. Well, Jesus loves you. Well, I love me. That's great. That worked out really well. And then the person, you know, says this kind of ritual, and they're assumed to go to heaven. And there's no counting the cost of what it costs to take up your cross and follow Christ. And it creates this this kind of churchianity culture of these Christians who, like the rich young ruler, will say, what does it take to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus tells them the cost of sell everything you have, and he challenges them. And then the rich and ruler just walked away. There was really no desire to follow Christ. There was only desire for self-benefit. So that really did hit me, I was a false convert for quite a long time because I didn't understand that the gospel was really to come to Christ, not to come to whatever benefits we want, whether it's riches or something like that. I also want to give an encouragement on a separate note just to all the people who do service in the church. If you ever find yourself discouraged or seeming maybe you there's a young person that your heart is, trying to reach or something like that, you don't know what's happening right now. Just like Mr. Nicholas was saying about seasons, it works the same with spiritual reaping and sowing, is that the season may not be now. It may be 10, 20 years down the road. So just encourage you to realize that you're doing something that glorifies God, of course, and even more so that you're planting seeds and they're being watered, and it may not even be for until eternity that we see the results. So just encourage you to press on, and thank you for what you've done to all the adults who serve in the church. So thank you.
I think Mark is a blessing. We're going to have Kevin and Lance come up and give a brief testimony too. And come on, guys. They were in my room, so we had many unforgettable memories together. We had a lot of fun. I'd do so again. Wouldn't have been the same without them.
I don't got much to say, so I'll be quick, but I just want to give a big thank you to Andy and Sarah for heading it up, and for all the chaperones that came out. You're really appreciated, and also to Mr. Russo. It takes a lot for him to take a few weeks out of his vacation, come hang with us. Really appreciate it. In youth conference, this is my second year going. It's really blessed me. The message that really spoke to me was, Tim hit on a little bit earlier, was standing in the gaps. Even in your church, there's place where you can stand in the gaps at your work, at your school. For me, in athletics, there's always kids out there that they ask about, like, why are you saved? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I always kind of stand down a little bit and don't really mention it that much. And it's really challenged me to stand up and tell them why I'm different and why I do things, and that I need to go out and witness for Christ. So I pray that you'll help me. That God will help me do that and stand up for him. And I just thank you for all your prayers and for letting me go. Thanks.
Good evening. I'm sure most of you know me as well, but my name is Lance Fry. This was also my second year going on the youth conference. It's always a blessing. Thank you to Andy and Sarah. They did a great job putting it on, as well as Mr. Russo driving us as always. Always made sure we were there on time. We started off by going to the Hope Children's Home, and you think you know what you're going to see every time you go there, how they don't have a home, but they always have just have a joy of being able to be there with all their other kids and know that they know Christ. And we sometimes take it for granted, everything that we have and stuff. And when you go there, see there, you kind of get a reality check of everything that you actually do have and you're blessed with. But that was definitely a blessing. I look forward to doing that every year. And then usually for Wednesday, we always have a fun trip and we go over to Busch Gardens, have some fun. But Lord decided to send some rain, so we didn't get to do that. But it's just somewhat of a blessing because usually I end up deaf because Kevin usually sits right next to me and just the whole time. So, but it's always fun, but we enjoy it. Then we do the youth conference after that. And that, like Matt and Timmy said, that's always the best part of it because you get to hear some great preaching. And Pastor Paulie brought out a couple good sermons that I also liked. He brought out one for the teens. It was saying, it's your turn. And he said, for it's the teens of this generation need to go out and start a revival. He said each year he challenges the teens that come in there to go and start out into the world and to turn it around. And it's our turn. Then we can't back down. And we got to start that. Also, the one about standing in the gaps that Timmy said, that was one that really spoke to me about all the people falling off the edge and that there's the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and that there's guards so in each gap, but there's millions of gaps there that are unfilled. And so he challenged us to get out there and get in those gaps. So that was one of the main things that I really enjoyed it. And so thank you to all those for your prayers and those who supported us that couldn't pay for it to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Love you too, man. Is anyone else real quick before we're, anyone to give a testimony from the youth conference? Anybody else? Someone wants me? Okay, Ashley's coming in the middle. Oh, look, it's true, we had Busch Gardens rained out, but kids are resilient, man. It doesn't matter what goes on, they still have fun, still goofballs, so it was a tremendous time, so.
Hi, my name is Ashley Turcott, and it was my first time going to Hope Children's Home, and you know, the work was really hard, and I worked inside most of the time because I'm not a big outdoors person, and I don't like to sweat. So, but it was really a blessing, like playing with the kids and stuff. There's this one little girl. Her name was Edgy. And, I mean, she had a long name, but we just shortened it. And I am not an athletic person at all. And she wanted me to play volleyball, so I'm like, all right, sure, okay. So, you know, she's telling me how to do it, and I have this little five-year-old telling me how to play volleyball. And, you know, she was so happy. And the day that we left, she's like, you're leaving forever? And I was like, well, I'll be back next year. And it just, you know, made me so, like, pretty emotional. And she's like, forever? And just the look on her face. And so that was a blessing, like, realizing what I have and having a family. And at youth conference, the message that spoke to me the most was about minding the gap and, you know, just being a witness. And there's so many times that you can witness and you don't. And so that really spoke to me. And so, yeah, thank you to my parents for letting me go and paying for me and for Sarah and Andy. And I love you guys. So, yeah, Mr. Russo for driving us around and all the chaperones. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. It's a blessing. Not an outdoorsy person either, so I feel your pain, literally. You know, what I want to say to you folks tonight, not to echo what everyone else said, but is a big, big thank you. Serving in this church has been a dream come true, and one of the greatest privileges I have is to be exposed and spend time with our young people. And I'm not just talking about the Wilds kids who went and the youth conference kids who went, but the whole youth group. We have a tremendous youth group. It is wonderful. It is amazing. I've seen lots of youth groups. Seen a lot, but we really have a special one. I'm not being biased at all, but we really do. And my wife and I want to tell you thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to be with them for a whole week It's true, when we went to Hope Children's Home, I wasn't prepared for what was to come, but when the moment we arrived, I knew we were going to work, but when we arrived, there came this man, he was in a cane, there's your first warning, and he looked like Abe Lincoln and a big old beard. Yeah, they're all laughing, they know, it's like, who is that? Why is he waiting for us? He sat there and goes, I've been waiting for you. So I was like, oh boy, we're in trouble. It's like, here's a shovel, here's a rake, here's a weed eater, here's a machete, go have fun. It's like, oh, are you serious? So when we arrived, I mean, they worked, people. I mean, they worked hard. It was intense. And I couldn't be more proud of them. I think I complained more than they did under my breath. I was a little like, I can't believe it. Came here on it. Poor Mike, he had a machete all day long. He was, you know, he was going Rambo on everything. So, but we had a lot of fun. And his name was Stu, and he was a great guy. He was in the service for 20 years and tremendous testimony. But when we went there and when we left, he said, when we parted ways, he said, I have a lot of young people that come through here, and it's always hit and miss. I don't know what I'm going to get. So I can safely say that your church, your young people, are some of the hardest working that we've ever seen. And you know what? That's a testimony to you and all the hard work and time that you put into these young people, and we thank you so much for that. And we had a great testimony while we were there. Busch Gardens did get rained out. We were looking forward to riding roller coasters and all those things, and he's so nice. He took a picture of this huge cell, this huge storm right above Busch Gardens and typed in, laugh out loud. So I was like, thanks. Like I said, like what Lance said, I mean, it doesn't matter what young kids go through. They're resilient, man. They just have a good time no matter what they do. And it was a privilege to see that happen. And the youth conference was a blast. Scott Polly, Tommy Odom. And a lot of things challenged me. And one of the things I want to share with you is in Luke, the first chapter, and I'll be very brief. I just want to share with you something that God kind of laid on my heart. I'm going to echo what Scott Pauley said, one of the messages, like what Lance said, bringing up about a gap. He preached a message called, It's Your Time. It is your time. In Luke chapter 1, and I'll just read a few verses, skip around. In verse 41, it said, And it came to pass, then Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Skip down to verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And here's the verse I want you to pay attention to. Verse 50 says, And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Brother Pauly told a story about he went bungee jumping, which was not smart. I've always wanted to do it, but I think Mom would kill me if she ever found out. So I've never done it. But he went bungee jumping in Gatlinburg, and he said he kept going up these levels and levels, and he was kind of nervous. He was like, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. And he got higher and higher, but he said, I never really was that scared until I saw the guy in front of me, and he jumped down, you know, and did all that. And then the steward, the guy who was in charge of it, said these words, It's your turn. And the moment he heard that, he said his stomach just shrank, and he just was filled with, oh, it's my turn. Oh, no, I'm actually going to do this. And he didn't have a choice there. He's like, poop. And he said those words rang in his ear. It's your turn. And he talked about how God's goodness, his mercy is extended from generation to generation. And he taught about how it's our turn. It's our turn to serve the Lord as David did in his generation. And something I thought while he was teaching that sermon is many times we get caught up in what I call the last day blues. You know, our world is continuing to grow darker and darker. I hear stories about our country that seem like fairy tales to me, of a time in America where kids could run free and not be afraid, where it's the world has been changing and growing darker still. And sometimes we get the last day blues, the 11th hour blues. But Scott Pauley said that this is the greatest time to be alive. And I agree with him. I want to encourage you tonight to not discourage our young people. Sometimes I'm guilty of this, and some of you are too, that we say, you know, I'm glad I'm not raising kids in this generation. Or, man, you know, it's going to be impossible to serve God, you know, with the way this world's going. And that can be discouraging, because honestly, if you're alive, if you're breathing right now, you are living in the greatest time ever be alive. I believe that the greatest days of the gospel are still ahead of us. You know, we're not going through the Welsh Revival and things like that, but maybe not Christian acceptance, maybe not moral values, maybe those days are long past where people appreciated the laws and statutes of this word. Maybe those days are behind us in our society, but I believe that the greatest days of Christ's message, of his salvation, is yet ahead of us. The gap between saved and lost is so large now. When we saw those kids at the Hope Children's Home, I mean, it's a whole nother world. And the things that they go through, but they had the light of Christ in their faces. They were filled with so much joy. You could not help but see it. And I see in our world that one who is saved and one who is lost, the gap is growing ever, ever larger. And a single drop of God's truth can ignite a huge flame. I remember about a few months ago, Kirk Cameron, he's a famous celebrity kid many years ago, and he got saved, and now he's part of the Way of the Master. But Kirk Cameron recently was on the Piers Morgan show, and he was asked a question, what do you believe about this? And he, quite frankly, answered the question straight from the Word of God. And by that one, I think that one little phrase, it ignited the media and the internet. I mean, it set it ablaze. He was on the Today Show. He was on this show and that show. And on the Today Show, I remember them saying, you know, why did you say that? Don't you know your words can inspire hatred? And, you know, you may believe those things, but you shouldn't say those things anymore. It's not right to say those things anymore. And Kirk responded. He said, all I believe is what's out of this book. It's like, I've been saved consistently for many years. Why are you surprised that I believe what God has put in his word? But in our world today, the difference between those who are lost and those who are saved are ever growing. And God's truth, God's gospel is needed now more than ever before. During the week, it was kind of refreshing to not really hear the news, read the news, because sometimes it really gets me upset. When you look at what's going on in the world, it's easy to go, well, it's a lost cause anyway. Why should I even bother? But I remember Tim, every morning, we were at Embassy Suites. Here he is, you know, it's like a little man. He's sitting there. He's got the USA Today, and he's got politics and money. Smart kid. He's looking at the stocks. He's looking at the news of the day. He's like, what is this kid doing? Man, come on. But he's a very well-informed guy, and I had fun talking with him. But you know what's funny about him? He would read the news. He'd read about, you know, doom and destruction and despair is coming. But he'd still go to Hope Children's Home and work his heart out. He witnessed to a girl, actually, in the embassy suite, just came right up and just gave their gospel. You know, and it didn't matter what he was reading in the newspaper. It didn't stop him from serving the Lord, from giving out the gospel. That encouraged me and that convicted me. We need to remind ourselves tonight that God has chosen us for this time. This is our time. And it is the greatest time to be alive than ever before. Do you really think there's ever been a time in the history of the world where people need the gospel more than right now? I don't. Christ is closer to coming now than ever before. And it doesn't matter what the glory days had back then, because people are still lost today. There's so much that we can accomplish right now. And sometimes, and I'll say this and I'll be done, need to be reminded that the only reason we're still here, the only reason we're here, is to reach people with the gospel. I thought to myself, I just looked around, I looked at Hope Children's Home, I thought about this during the week. I looked at the conference and the work that went into it, the big banners, all the work, you know, calling the bowling alley and the skating rink and the hotels and the food and the buses and the transportation and the permission slips and Matt cracking his head open and, you know, all that crazy stuff. But why do we go through all the trouble? Why do we send kids to the wilds? Why do we send kids to youth conference? Why does Gulf Coast Baptist Church spend all of that time and money and energy and planning and honestly stuff they could do elsewhere, having young people come and hear preaching for 3-4 days? Why do we do any of that? Why do we as a church send our young people out there? Because we have to be reminded constantly that the only reason we are here is to reach the world with the gospel. Do you realize if that reason was passed, if we got saved, boom, we'd be on our way to heaven right now. The only reason that I'm standing here and you're standing here is people still need the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that convicted me and blessed me. And I saw these young people and how attentive they were to God's word, convicted my heart to remind me that is the reason why we are here. And again, I want to thank you so much for the tremendous opportunity. Sarah and I love these young people. I don't want to get choked up, but I know it's not cool. But we love them so much, and we love you, and we thank you so much for the opportunity and blessing it was. So thank you.